That's a word that, if we'll remember, when we become complacent, we become dangerously near to a drink and to screwy thinking. Now, all I can talk about is Minneapolis and St. Paul, because that's where I had my experience in AA. And as you know, up there we have the one big group in the clubhouse at 2218 First Avenue South. And we had a schism. Is that the word? Yeah. We had a schism. About 50 people broke off from us in 43 because they didn't want to deal with the common people. They wanted to deal with the executive types. I don't know how many executive types you got down here, but they pulled away, and it was the best thing that happened for them and for us. Now, their last count, I think they had 65 people. In 20 years, they've grown from 50 to 65, which isn't very good. Because there are just as many unhappy executives as there are unhappy laborers, and vice versa. Now, we encourage groups to form away from our club at 2218, to start up in their neighborhood, in churches, or in whatever they can get a hold of, because of the parking situation downtown. They've got a wonderful group in Richfield, a wonderful group in Robbinsdale. They've got three groups in Edina and so on. But once a year, as you know, we have this banquet when everybody comes, and we have about 1,200 to 1,400 people there. That's about the only time we all get together. Now, the best setup I've ever seen for a county or an area is at San Diego, California. I've been out there three or four times, and they have groups all over San Diego, La Mesa, El Cajon, La Jolla, or you can, all those Spanish names out there. See, there's about 25 groups scattered throughout the county, and they each have a different meeting night. And they have one central phone where all of the SOS is called in. Now, that phone is open from 8 until 6 in the daytime. After that, it goes on an answering service. And on Wednesday night, out at Balboa Park, they rent and pay for the Veterans Memorial, which seats about 400 people. They only have to pay $25 a night for that. And they all come from all over the county for that meeting. So most people out there make at least two meetings a week. And they import speakers from all over for these Wednesday night gatherings. Now, I wish you fellas would realize that the success of AA depends on you. Now, there's been a few leaders who have been carrying the load and doing the speaking, but you neglect or you overlook the fact that you have talents and you have ideas that you have failed to express. Now, I suggest that working this program is more than coming to a meeting, that it has to be worked in your daily life, just as Christianity has to be worked in your daily life. And, for instance, in the morning when you get up and you turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand Him, and you ask for the various strengths that you need, wisdom and courage, tolerance and patience, and sincerity, sense of gratitude and so on, why, you're filled with elation and with confidence that for today I'm not going to have any trouble, because I'm putting my problem in the hands of a higher power, Now this higher power, God, works through people. He works through people. He don't open up the heavens and throw a bolt down and do something. I know that in my humble way, I have found that I was ineffectual in many, many cases of reaching into a man's soul and making contact. And I have prayed in my nightly prayer, please send somebody to help that guy. And sometimes I've got pretty sassy with God. I said, this man needs it. I can't do it. Why don't you send somebody? And lo and behold, somebody walks into that man's life. Somebody with whom he can make rapport, with whom he can talk and unburden himself, and whom he can lean on until he gets his feet under him again. And that somebody is you. So when you take your inventory at night, and please do that, if you're going to be successful in this, you've got to live it beyond going to a meeting, your 10th, 11th, and 12th steps. Why, take a look at the day. You've only been awake 14, 15 hours and out among people. And take a look and see whom you've hurt and whom you've helped. Did I hurt anybody? Did I help anybody? And once in a while it'll come along where you see, boy, I sure did him a favor. I sure put him right. And you feel a glow that you've been useful for that day. Now this program has got to be worked individually, in your own lives. Take a look and see if the lies, evasions, and deceits are coming back into your life. Is the arrogance coming back? The lust, all these things. Look for these things at night. You can spot them. And also you can spot the resentments. You've only got so many people to look at, and it only takes a few minutes to scan your day. And you can spot a resentment like that if you're honest. Why am I resentful? Why is that hatred growing? Is it my fault or his fault? How can I square it? I can't afford to go around hating that person. Because I'll start to run, and when I run, I drink. Now those are the ways that you can improve yourself spiritually. And that is what this program guarantees you. And if you do that and put your faith in the hands of God, somehow or other, he won't do it overnight, but it'll come. I got a very serious problem in my life now, and I'm no doubt but what somebody's going to walk in, or I'm going to meet somebody that's got the answer. I haven't got it. But I don't worry about it anymore. It ain't going to happen tomorrow. Maybe a month from now. Maybe 2 months. But somebody's going to come along unwittingly and give me the answer to my problem that I'm looking for. I never had any faith like that when I was drinking. All I could do was curse God for making me a drunkard. And so, you people here who are not alcoholics, you want to realize that none of us started out in life to become alcoholics. We did not set out in life to become that way. There are some of us here who are, before I go any further, this is just Cronin talking, I'm not an expert. And you don't have to accept what I say as biblical. But science tells us we have two types of alcoholics, the primary and the secondary type. The primary type is the alcoholic who had trouble with alcohol from the first time they encountered it, maybe early in their teens. Now that type of alcoholic, they claim, was maladjusted before they encountered alcohol. They were screwed up before they hit alcohol through something that happened in their early life. And when they found alcohol and the release it gave them, they used it from then on as a solvent for their problems. And the secondary type is the type who drinks along for years. I know I went along for many years with no compulsion to drink and no obsession. And then I went over the edge and I couldn't get back. But whatever type it is, this program will will give you the answer, providing you work at it every day. Now, if you started to have dizzy spells and fainting spells and passing out, and finally they took you to a hospital and you got a hold of a doctor who took some interest in you and he went all over you, and finally he came up and he said, you've got diabetes. And you didn't know that. Pancreas gland going haywire. Now, we'll measure you up and find out how bad you are and what you need, and then he will give you a prescription for the strength of insulin that you need or the strength of the pill that you need. And if you take that every day and you avoid the sugar, you're going to be all right. You're going to live a normal life, a normal span of years, and there'll be no more passing out and no more convulsions. Well, you do that if you have any common sense. And here we're offered a way that we can avoid these convulsions and this terrific light that we had before of shaken out of them with the sense of shame and guilt and all that. And there, the simple 12 steps. Study them. How does that apply to me? I want to change. I want to change the inner man. When you go to a meeting, if you've done some studying during that week and some thinking, you'll have an idea to get up and say, I'd like to pass this on to you fellas. See if it makes any sense to you. So that the meetings will not become one-sided. And if you've got something that you've been studying, and you should have, for instance, George says he's got the little 24-hour book. I don't know how many of you have got it. It's a good thing to have. I met the man who put it together. There's nothing original about it. He stole everything. And you see, when you steal from one guy, that's plagiarism. And when you steal from 25, that's research. See? So he did a lot of researching, and he put all this stuff together, the idea and the meditation and the prayer and all that, and he put it together. And when I met him in Minneapolis, I says, why, I thought you were a clergyman. He says, son, I was the worst agnostic ever came out of Boston. But he said, my life was so screwed up that when I... he alternated between Cape Cod in the summer and Boston and Daytona Beach in the wintertime, so the fellow must have had a little money. But a friend of his down there had some books by some eminent clergyman. And they had a day-at-a-time deal in there. And this fellow was using that. So this fellow who put the 24-hour book together, he started studying that. And he started to try and to grasp some idea of a higher power. Now, this book is not a Christian book. Christ is not mentioned in it. And so it can be used by any denomination or any Unitarian or Jew or Mohammed or anything. It is this book of spiritual exercises designed to make you think. And if you can start your day off realizing that you are no longer alone, that there is a power around you that will help you through that day, providing you start off the day in a sensible way, in a spiritual way, why, I think that, like the rest of us, you'll get through that particular day. Now, I've been trying to pull out to the sidelines for a long time, and I pretty well succeeded. I mean, I don't go as often as I used to. The first 10 years of my AA life, I never missed a night that I wasn't over there. And I stayed away, and they did much better. So I found out I wasn't so important after all. But the young man in this thing. Now, don't start sticking your chest out and saying, look what I did. When you've got a man, he's coming your way, and you're helping him. You say, look what God did working through me. That an instrument like you and I can be used by a higher power to take a warped life and to get the resentments and hatreds out of it and induce some charity and some gentleness in there. That is the miracle of AA. That is the thing that the psychiatrists and the clergy have a hard time understanding, because they haven't gone through what you and I have. I remember some Lutherans present, when I was first trying to get some clergy interested in helping us out with the fifth step, which was where we make an inventory of our past and of our resentments, the people we've hurt, and what'll I do about this? I went to the Lutherans and I said, will you help us? And they looked it over and they said, no, this is the Catholic sacrament. I said, no. This has nothing to do with Catholicism or with religion. You are the poor man's psychiatrist. We want somebody who'll listen and who won't condemn or who'll understand. And after a while, they took a man named John Keller and they sent him to Wilmer. And he was there over a year. And he studied alcoholism, where he had 100 alcoholics to see every day, or 200. And they all made their fifth step to him, and he came back and he educated the Lutheran clergy up there to where now they're avid helpers of us, because they are the poor man's psychiatrist. And when somebody comes to you and says, I hate that guy, you want to help him to get rid of that, because he can't afford to go around carrying that hatred and that resentment. And if you'll understand that we are not the way we are because we started out that way, we are seeking a way out through God's help, then I think we will all be able to help more sick people. And you in the smaller communities, if you've got a Rotary, a Kiwanis, a Lions, a Legion group, they've all got alcoholics in them, why, go to their booking agent, the fellow who's... They all looking for free speakers, don't forget that. I've spoke to hundreds of them. And if nobody from your small community wants to go before the Rotary, or the Kiwanis, or the Legion, you get old George here, from somebody from another town, and bring him in and let him explain how the program of AA can help their alcoholic. Now, you won't have immediate help, but I'll bet before the year is out, two or three people have been helped, simply because somebody is beginning to understand that this is not a bunch of screwballs, that this is a program that works. I think 100 years from now, when the researchers go back and look over our era, the age that we live in, they will find some wonderful things. For instance, the first thing perhaps that happened was the Sister Kenny, an Australian bush nurse who picked up a method of helping polio in its early infancy, in early stages. And she was a prophet without honor in her own Australia. She had to come to this country and to Minneapolis before she got any help. And there they financed her, and now her method is used everywhere. We've had Jonas Salk, and we've had oreomycin, penicillin. We've got the wonder drugs by the dozen. And I think when they look back and see that in this era also, a bunch of drunks got together and found out that through group therapy and through meeting one another and through kindness and courtesy and love, they were able to arrest their disease and to help others in their community to do it, they will look on that as one of the wonderful things that happened in that era. And so, just because you're in a small community doesn't mean that you can't be of service. If you're out here at Grundy Center or Old Wine or something, work up a talk and bring it here to these people here. If you're from Waterloo or Cedar Falls, work up something. Spend some time over it. Get some ideas. And buy some books. The big book, the big AA book, the little red book, and the little 24-hour book. There's a lot of them. This here thing will give you some ideas on this four-step inventory. This is put together. It's nothing new by Hazelden, but they printed it. And if you want more copies of this, you simply, down here's the Hazelden Foundation, send them $5 and they'll send you about 20 copies. And you got enough to hand around. Because it's up to you to help these fellows who are saying, oh, what do I do about this? That's why we've got our 12 traditions. We used to, in the early days, we'd get a problem up there. We wouldn't know what to do. We'd write New York. What do you do there? And they'd say, well, we don't know, but I'll tell you what they did in Cleveland, or I'll tell you what they did in New Orleans there. And they would pass that on. And so generally, gradually, we've got the 12 traditions as to how to live together and not hurt one another, and realize that what we do affects AA as a whole. The 12 traditions works. So take your membership in AA seriously, that you are ordained perhaps by God to help the other unfortunate. Now, don't forget that the first 20 guys I tried to help, I didn't get a single one. They didn't have any faith in me. But you've got so many examples walking around now of this thing working that you don't have to. I didn't have anybody. I couldn't say, he's been dry a year, he's been dry 10 years. I didn't have anything to point to. Just me, and I was a drunk. And speaking of the difference between an alcoholic and a drunk, now there isn't really any difference. But we alcoholics like to think there is. An alcoholic is a man or a woman who is aware of their problem and wants to do something about it, who is unhappy and confused and wants to change the situation. And a drunk, he don't want to change. He has no motivation. That is his way of life, and it's pretty hard to do anything with him. It may be that by him watching an alcoholic get happy and stay happy and become successful, a drunk might change. But usually, the drunk doesn't have any motivation to change his way of life, and it's a very difficult. He has nothing to build on, nothing to go back to start, no change to make. Sometimes they fool you. So, if you haven't made your fourth and fifth and eighth and ninth step, I suggest time is ripe for you to do it. I'm not selling books. I'm selling tickets to a banquet over here, but I'm not selling books. And if I leave this here, it's the only one I got. It's only because this is the address where you can send a $5 bill and get 20 of them and hand them out. And you might get somebody worked up to the point where he wants to clean himself up and go to somebody and unload and walk a free man. Well, I understand my time is limited. This is not Cronin's afternoon. I had my say last night. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pat. I'm sure we got a lot of good ideas that's going to help us in this territory. When memory brings me back, the first speaker I ever heard from out of town when the Waterloo group was struggling along with 10 or 12 members was Pat Cronin from Minneapolis. I think one Saturday and Sunday, Pat brought some guys with him, doctors and some others there, and we had a deal something like we've got here today. And Pat straightened it out on quite a few things. You know, according to our founder, Dr. D here, we were jumping around, didn't know how to open meetings, didn't know how to close them, didn't know what it was all about. We were just trying to find a way to keep sober and keep out of trouble. Now, of course, most of us open our regular meetings with the Serenity Prayer and close it with the Lord's Prayer and so on. And according to what they said in them days, they had to have some kind of a ceremony to open it up with, so somebody told a dirty story and the meeting was opened. But of course, we soon found out that wasn't the proper way to open an AA meeting. But anyhow, Pat has been a lot of help. He'll never know. I don't know whether he's going to get his real reward here, but we do know that there is a reward waiting him in the future and the place that we all expect to go to. Now, in closing, before we close the meeting, I got some more thanks to give out here because we're so grateful to the committees for all the help that we got, particularly at the ladies Al-Anons at Cedar Falls and Waterloo, our ladies, and some of them from the downtown group, were here at 7 o'clock this morning preparing for breakfast. We served about 75 people here at the breakfast this morning. There was no meeting, just to get together. You know, AAs like to flock together. Right up here in this room, 1957, when Lucy and I celebrated our golden wedding, and of course we had to extend invitation to AAs and friends. I don't know too many friends now. I know AAs. I know a lot of them, and I'm going to keep on knowing them. But anyhow, I wondered what become of all AAs, you know. And finally, I went down to get a drink of water, and there the whole downstairs was full of AAs, and the non-AAs were up here. So AAs do like to flock together, and that's good. That's just as it should be. So again, I want to thank the ladies in Cedar Falls last night that served that nice lunch there in Cedar Falls, and our ladies Al-Anon here that served the breakfast and are going to serve the refreshments after this meeting. Don't forget downstairs, we're going to have refreshments and coffee. And just a word for you wives that are not members of Al-Anon. That's an organization of wives and husbands of lady alcoholics, which was organized, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, I'm guessing at that, by Bill Wilson, our founder's wife. And today it has spread, and I believe they got about 50,000 members now. And all three of these groups represented here today have an Al-Anon auxiliary. And you wives that don't have to be members of that, attend one or two meetings and see what the ladies got. They don't only learn at these meetings how they can help their husband stay on the beam and be happy about it, but they have a program of their own where they also can find a new and glorious way of life that we find AA, because you know there is something wrong with you women too, as well as the men, and you can find a way there of getting rid of some of that stuff you ought to get rid of. And I understand that one of their cardinal principles is they have a rule there, no gossip. Now, of course, they say women like God. By God, the men do, too. Now, I've heard a lot of those guys. Come on, girls, give us a little hand there. You know, when I'm talking to these men, you should see the angelic look in their eyes. But I guess that took it out of it. So, again, thank ladies. I want to thank the Uphold Funeral Home for the use of their chairs, the Parrot and Wood for the use of their chairs. And union. What union is that, Horace? 46. 46? Down Rath? Rath Union. They also let us have chairs here today. We got plenty downstairs, but we didn't want to drag them up here and have to drag them back again. And now, before we close, we come to the part I know that you've all been anxious and waiting for. In AA, you know, we have no dues or fees, but we got expenses. So where's the sheriff? Will you pass the do the honors, Harry? Yeah? Okay. We have a nice delegation here today from the Old Wine Group. I wonder if they'd stand up and take a little bow. Old Wine, will you stand up back there? Do you have any other outside of Dubuque? Oh, my gosh. Dubuque, boys, stand up. Yeah, Jack and Lois from California. Stand up, Jack. Jack was a former member here of the Waterloo group, and he's a horse jockey. And he had a horse, but he wasn't much good. But yeah, sure. Waverly, boys and girls. You know, every time I see Jack and Lois, Jack was celebrating an anniversary. We had the Brighter Side group, and he belonged to that, so it was Jack's anniversary, and we didn't know what the dickens to get him. We didn't think about it till it was meeting night. And so we did a lot of the, we was meeting over in the Sacred Heart Church basement then. There was a case of 7-Up there, so we went out and swiped that and gave it to him for his anniversary. And, I remember, too, one time, you know, we had a lot of fun in AA, and anything goes. I remember one time we had a door prize, and somebody had an electric flat iron that didn't work. And we put that up for a prize, and Mildred Coughlin won it. And the next morning she called me up, "George, that iron won't work." Well, I said, "I could have told you that long ago." So we do have a lot of fun, and anything, as I say, Golden AA's, when our Brighter Side group met a number of years over across the street here in the Sacred Heart Church basement, believe this or not now, folks, one open meeting night, we had the Lutheran choir singing in a Catholic church, believe that or not. And Father Doherty was there, too, at the time. He was a great friend of ours. He used to come in from the parsonage and sit in at our meetings. They were very good to us. They wouldn't charge us anything, but we did use their kitchen and their lights and so on. And then Father Doherty liked to smoke cigars. I remember one time I was supposed to make a presentation, and I learned a nice speech by heart. I don't happen to be a Catholic, so I couldn't say anything along them lines. I happen to be a Lutheran. And I had a nice speech prepared, and so I give him the box cigars and start in. I got halfway through. And I says, "My gosh, Father, I forgot that. Give me that box back so I can start over again." I had to start all over again the second time I remembered it. Yeah, we do have a lot of fun. What's better, Pete?
George, we have Mr. and Mrs. Frombach from Minneapolis to go all the way down.
This oh, fine. We don't want to forget it. Stand up. You know them, Pat?
Sure. Pioneer.
Oh, are they?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Fine. They're going to take you home?
Yeah.
Good. I wish I could meet people like that once in a while. I generally have to drive myself. Well, I don't drive. My old car, 1949 Desoto. Someday I'm going to have money enough. I'm going to get a different car. But Arnold back there drives for me, and he drives for Reverend Sprague, too. You know Reverend Sprague? Stand up, Reverend Sprague. I tell you how we come to get that name. We have nicknames in AA, you know, and he talked one afternoon. He's retired and he got lots of time. All he does is take naps. But he talked one time over at the First Methodist Church, 300 women. He was so tickled, you know, they gave him a big ovation. I think it was a standing ovation. And he was down bragging about it. So Walt Coughlin started calling him Reverend Sprague, and I just stuck with him ever since. We went over to Old Wine one night, and I had a new guy. He was chairman over there. And so when Arnold was chairman for our group leading over there, why, he introduced him as Reverend Sprague. And the guy, their chairman, was real serious. Afterward, he came over and he says to me, is he really a reverend? I says, "You're doggone right, he's a reverend." Well, anyhow, I know that it's getting on. It isn't so late yet, though, but don't forget now, we've got refreshments downstairs after the meeting. Is anything I've forgotten? I suppose there is. If not, I'm going to ask Reverend Retzloff to lead us in. We'll all stand and recite the Lord's Prayer. Will you lead us, Reverend Retzloff? We'll all recite together with him.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, glory forever. Amen.